I'll date the tape.
Commander's present, and this is truly business today.
This is April the 6th, 1997. Greetings, Commander.
Everybody ready?
Yes.
Well, we're going to have to be a little bit cautious today because I'm going to need her to speak tomorrow. And as you might guess, the stress level is somewhere between outer orbit and intergalactic. I guess it's called the jet flow. We've got some special people here. Janet, welcome. And after a while, this won't seem so strange to any of you who are not aware of how we make our visitation. Every one of you should be on your knees thankful that you have not been able to talk us into making appearances and other things this week. You got enough problems. Well, I don't want you to think of these as problems. Our most specially close, camaraderie-ridden adversaries have done themselves in. It's going to get a lot worse before it gets better for them. Margie, we're going to need absolute confirmation about Mr. Entz. Is he still with the apple shed or not?
No, he is not. My neighbor works there, and my neighbor's wife works there.
Hold on a second, Margie.
We want to make sure that all of this is recorded, and I will tell you a little bit later why this is very important today, because these people are coming out tomorrow, and we will have a meeting in this room sometime afternoon. Anybody who wants to come out of this town or anywhere else is welcome, but we're going to set a lot of things to right tomorrow.
My neighbor works at Apple Shed. He's worked there for probably 8 months. And when he came to work there in the first place, he met Rod Entz, who was working there. And Rod Entz said to him, say hello to your neighbor, Margie. Real nasty. And so my neighbor came and says, well, what's this all about? And what'll I do? I said, well, just be friends with him because you have to keep your job and just don't bring him home. I said, he was a manager at a farm, and I said, when you're manager and you don't do right, you know, managers can get fired, so he got fired, and things were missing. Things went along for a long time good, and then the wife who went to work there a week or so ago said, they took Rod Entz's key away from him because there were too many things missing. They couldn't just say he took them, but they took his key away. Then the next few days, they fired him. And she went into work and baking with her husband. So Rod Entz is no longer there. This is from people who work there. And they're my next-door neighbors.
Well, we may want to have a little run through of the videotape from the other night, just so that we're well refreshed by tomorrow. I will tell you in advance what I'm going to insist upon. They know they are in trouble. Other channels in the town didn't even dare show any of this. Other tabloid productions didn't. If it was mentioned at all, did anybody actually see anything on any other? And don't say, well, I think it was. I want to know explicitly if anything was on any other tabloid news station other than Extra? Because people keep saying hard copy, but that is not true. They all wonder how you know. Well, you don't have to be a wizard or a space alien to know what they did. So I'm going to give a little bit of background about where these various and sundry legal cases are resting at the moment. And I could ask Gene to do that, but I think what I'd like to do is only be corrected if I miss very many things. In the property case that's been going on now for nine years, Mr. Tips in France did a writ against Judge Chapin because he was appointed to get this case brought to a stop. They had disallowed even to discuss the fact that there was no sale present, no auctioneer, no sale, nothing happened on May 24th, 1988. So let's check where we are with that case. Chapin came in, did his hatchet work, then he was shocked because all of this proof came forth, just poured all over him about the indiscretions of Stephen Horn in conjunction with Jason Brent. So all of you know then that when we went back to court, he continued to rule with Stephen Horn, and if you all will remember, Jason Brent was present. Now, there is a coalition, a conspiracy with George Abbott, Horton, Green, the entire Nevada bunch, with Jason Brent, Stephen Horn, Chapin, the Kern County and L.A. County bunch. So this was going to bode very unfavorably for Mr. Tips, who was a former attorney and has now moved to France. He overlooks Monaco, as only lawyers would be able to do, I'm sure. But anyway, he still has some practice here on the West Coast. He kind of flies back and forth. Well, there was nothing left to do but to make a complaint against Mr. Tips' insurance company because Judge Chapin said from the bench that Mr. Tips was responsible for what had happened to the Eckers. Now, whether or not he thought it would ever get any further than that, I have no notion. But anyway, when he ruled again in the face of all this evidence, this time Mr. Tips had to get into it because there becomes no alternative for the Eckers but to bring some kind of a charge against Mr. Tips, just what the judge said, to get someone that can come back in here and carry on the case. Because there is no point, and now we have a trial sitting in front of us, unable to use any evidence relative to anything. They were able to get everything, including Jason Brent's past indiscretion, stricken. Everything regarding Mr. Horn and all of his dirty tricks right up until now, stricken. And then finally took the entire case out by saying that it could not even be mentioned there was no sale. Well, what's left? So Mr. Tips did put together what is called a writ to get this overridden with a higher court. Now, this is sort of a final word, and lawyers usually respect each other enough that when this writ was filed by Mr. Ellie, Mr. Tips did the work, Mr. Ellie, our lawyer, did go in and file it. And let me give you a little side deal. An extra bit of money was paid to, quote, expedite this. But they didn't expedite it. And so I said, well, let us have our extra feedback. Oh, no, you don't get any extra feedback. We just made it all the same price. And whatever's left over goes to the law library. Does everybody hear what I just said?
This was Tips told you that?
This is a court. This is the court. Mr. Dixon and Mr. Ellie. No sweat. We just take whatever. And you don't get anything back. You don't get any service. TUF goes to the law library. Do we ever need some common law people? So now, in the face of this writ, something that is unheard of, Mr. Horn has filed an objection to this writ on the basis of what they just did to you on extra. And is sitting with the court now. Now, let me go to Mr. Green's indiscretions, and we'll refer to it now as the $400,000 gold theft. That came to the court, and Mr. Abbott and Mr. Horton were there to protect their interests, and they wanted lawyer's fees and so forth. So Judge Gamble said, no, thou shalt not get any lawyer's fees out of this money. But neither would he, after being ordered twice by the Nevada Supreme Court, would he release it. And then he went the extra mile and he said, I will give you 60 days, and then change it to 90, to get a probate order signed by the Texas court that they had no claim against that estate and this supposed gift or whatever they classified as. And if he was not pleased with what he got back from Texas, he was going to have a probate hearing. So guess what? When people start committing suicide, which they didn't, no suicide. No suicide. In San Diego, immediately, all of you will also remember that Mr. Abbott was very pleased with himself that he had this in. He was a journalist. All his life he was a journalist. Even above and beyond being an honorable lawyer, he was an honorable journalist. And he had an inside with the Associated Press, and he certainly did, remember. This lady up here says she's Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know, but it came out in the Nevada paper in the town the morning that Judge Gamble was in the middle of this trial that they did away with the jury, thinking they had the court fixed. Well, the judge was so angry over this Associated Press article, which was the fourth or fifth, and it really wasn't as bad as some of the others. Anyway, he was not going to have this kind of ridicule. So that's been sitting now. Poor Dave Overton finally got even older, and God love him, he finally died. And they still are hanging on to it now. Do they have it? Have they spent it? What in the world has happened with that asset? But guess who precipitated all this wonderful new garbage? Mr. Abbott, Associated Press. The only one they could get to bite on it was Extra. And the only channel in Bakersfield they could get to even pay it any attention was Channel 29. Well, they're going to be sorry about that because we know some of the people from Channel 29. And Paul Leonthal went down and did a very beautiful interview with him to set some things to straight, and all of you saw what they did to him on the television. They just made us look like some gold dealers. We're not metals dealers. We have written over and over and over again, we're not in the metals business. This is going to come to a screeching halt, and they have a choice. They can meet our requirements, which means they can come into this room with their cameras off. This camera-shy pair up here. Does anybody have any idea why we have never allowed pictures? Even that picture was taken at Diane's wedding where we specifically said, please, there will be no pictures, not even family pictures, of mother with daughter. Why? Why? Somebody out there tell me why we did this. Why do we not have pictures? That's right. Absolutely right. Look what they've done with Jay-Z Knight, Claire Prophet. Do you want the truth? Are you about something? Or do you want to have some lame little old people up there that you can focus on? And with the petition that went out that very day of Diane's wedding, there will be no pictures of either Doris or EJ, the parents, mind you. Your ex-friends gave them those pictures. Beware, all of you. Over and over again. We have handled things that way because we want absolutely zero notoriety. None. If we had wanted to start a cult or something, don't you think we could have done an adequate job of it? And then to have to face the fact Mr. Entz stole over right at $50,000. Well, he was stealing right and left. It doesn't matter. While he was supposed to be managing that farm. And he was pulling in welfare, and he was pulling in food stamps. And they have sabotaged. Did anybody bring that letter?
Mr. Brent's letter?
Well, we need Mr. Brent's letter and we need the phone call. I don't want anybody really speculating who that might be yet because Rick is already treading on the... And this is very, very private.
I didn't bring the transcription.
Well, we're going to have to attend this today. I don't like having to attend it today, but tomorrow the extra crew is going to be here. Yes, ma'am. And so we will have, they will meet about noon in contact's office with Dr. Young and Rick and whoever is down there. And then I'm asking that they come right to this room and we are going to have them sign a contract that they will not take pictures of either of the Eckers. And then I'm going to tell them how it's going to be. And I think all of you are eager enough to know how it's going to be that some of you may want to be here. This is not a command performance, although we will have some cookies because I want to let them know that they're in my living room on my turf.
We don't even need cookies tomorrow.
Yes, we do.
Well, in the midst of all of this, when you can't feel much worse, and physically it is it's just really taking its toll, the whole thing. Mr. Tip saw it in France, in Monaco. It was seen in Greece. It was seen in South Africa. It was seen in New Zealand. It was seen in Australia. And we have an entire printout of the internet from Dr. Kenyon, who was here, you know, from Hawaii. This is damaging. This is hurtful. Everybody's wondering if anybody's still alive here. Because the way Extra handled this program, you couldn't tell where they were talking about. And isn't it interesting that they only had the malfunctioning misfits that did the speaking? Did anybody find that interesting? So when Mr. Linfall goes down to talk with them, she puts on her sweet blinking eyes and, well, we're just so sincere. Well, how did you connect this? Why were you out there? Oh, well, I mean, we knew we had something in the file about it, and we just dug around and came up with it. And so Mr. Linthal says, well, you were seen down with Mr. Jason Brent at the end of the street. What was that about? Oh, well, that has nothing to do with anything. Well, there's your connection. He's been a big deal around here, and Miles Musiosi being the meteorologist and so forth. They had a big shake-up at Channel 29 and 23 where he was, and he moved over. Well, it just turns out that Miles Musio is the closest neighbor to the Eckers that you've got. But he calls her the little E.T. princess. Well, I'm going to repeat. They're going to have some opportunities to make their careers or break themselves, because nobody is going to bother to go after anyone like Extra any more than you would the National Enquirer when you have federal racketeering conspiracy charges you can bring against them for having conspiratorially joined together to damage deliberately, both personally and businesses. And actually, Nevada corporate law does not like this sort of thing happening to their corporations. Now, which is the best way to go? Well, obviously, to go with lawyers takes an awful lot of money. Now, I don't know. This one might be big enough in the long haul for lawyers to want to do this contingency-wise. I don't know. Gene isn't as brave as we are with his career. It's sort of like anything, you know. After you have lost what you consider lost everything, then you go for it. Well, Gene doesn't yet realize that he's lost everything. He might as well go for it. And I hate to be the first to tell him this, but we're going to go for it. Now, that's just all there is to it. And I will try to honor Gene, but I hope that some of you are beginning to realize that I don't talk through the hole in my head. I talk through the hole in hers. I think with mine. And you have some incredible cases here. But more importantly, you can make an international splash. There are so many things that none of you yet are privy to. And your enemies are struggling every which way they can. They are terrified that court is going to release that gold. So they got all this information together. Now they filed their information with every court where you have any case going to discredit you, see. They had to go so far out on a limb to in any way have anything here remotely resemble anything in San Diego. And then when you look at the San Diego mess, don't you find it interesting that within a week of the... Well, they burned down Waco on the 19th of April. 4 years ago. And you can judge how long the Judge Coyle case has been going with US&P because it was on that day that Judge Coyle cited Dorma for contempt of court. Then you come along and on April 19th, 2 years ago, they bomb the federal building in Oklahoma City. And guess what they did? Just as soon as they could empty that building, they burned it. They tore it down, destroyed it. When they had Ruby Ridge and Bogart was up there in Idaho and had already shot the mother and the little boy, they had loaded fuel tanks onto that helicopter. Now, maybe you knew, maybe you didn't know. I'm going to tell you right now. This was when Jack Donahue was coming out here working on prefab houses. Jack Donahue was a member of the OSS, Office of whatever. He was George Bush's bosom buddy. They'd gone to college together. He was George's insurance man. George had a birthday party at Camp David. Sent a military plane to pick up Jack Donahue to take him to Camp David to the birthday party. You think they don't waste your money? Well, we were dealing at that time with trying to open a conduit where people out of Hong Kong could, through incorporation, come into the United States, because Great Britain said, we're not going to allow them just to become citizens of Great Britain. I bet they wish today they hadn't taken that tact. So Jack Donahue went personally to George Bush to ask if this was a feasible thing to do. Would they be welcome? Would we be in trouble? What would happen here? Georgie boy said, wonderful. Of course, anyone who can start a business or do something over here are certainly welcome. So this is how long ago this was. So now we've got a situation. Jack Donahue is due momentarily this particular morning. I had gotten Dorma up early. I could see what was happening in Idaho. This was going to be a conflagration. And so when Jack Donahue got to the place that morning, I had already given orders for him to get this thing shut down, go to the White House, you know who to get in touch with, you do it, Buster. And so he did it. And they sent Paul Harvey over in another helicopter to get it shut down. So I don't care how many of you, even in this room, know, care, believe a whit about Anton Hatton. The ones who are important in your world know exactly who I am, and I have a massive file at level A6. Where even your president cannot access it, but George Bush can. And I like that, because what we're doing with George Bush right now he just didn't want a deal then. No, please perish the thought about any such thing as that. But the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And he certainly is reconsidering a lot of the things that he has had going. Not the least of which is BRIEX. You know, this lovely Canadian gold mining operation out of Busan. You know where they're now pushing corporate people out of helicopters. They've suddenly decided they've got cancer and they just can't live another moment. And so somewhere between here and there, over the Busang mines, you jump out of the helicopter to commit suicide. And that's happening within this week, you know. There's no gold in the mine. Can you believe the crumminess of this high level manipulation, intergovernmental intrigue, and they salted a gold mine in Indonesia? Now, wouldn't that frost you? So the world isn't looking good out there to those players. And I know that it looks like the world isn't looking all that great to you players. It's looking better every moment. I wanted to bring these people in tomorrow. I hope they are nice and cooperative. I don't give a damn, really, whether they are or not. They will either meet our needs or they may go. That's up to them. But I don't think it's going to be wise on their part to go. And I would, all of you, take your pens right now and write some of these things down. I don't know the dates and things, but I do know that on the 13th of this month, David Icke will be here. Now, David Icke is an international speaker, journalist, had his own media shows, and he's been here, and you know he is, that's been a year. He is really good now. He's likable, he's charming. I'm going to give these gentlemen an opportunity to come out here and meet some people. Some people. And stop basing it on this sensational garbage. Now that compound up there on the hill, you know, that big rock wall there in the back, guess what? That's one of the damn projects, and Leon Fort worked on that. Those are compressed earth bricks. But they aren't worth a damn, are they? So you have to build up your wall, then you have to wire it like for stucco, and then you have to put a stucco covering on it. Well, maybe it's impressive. I don't know. It melted the first time. But that was a project. That was a successful project and your first major piece of equipment. One of those compressors. And George Green went out and took that along with Dee and Bob Smith and started building houses with it. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of it. I'm tired of these sniveling scum suckers doing this. And Mr. Entz comes on there with a light to his back as if everybody in the world didn't know who he was. This was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. But he interviewed for nearly 4 hours. And he said there are stashes of weapons, an arsenal out at that farm. Tons of ammunition. And this is such a bad scene that somebody called on an intercellular phone that rings in EJ's bedroom. They use it as an intercom setup when he had his broken foot, remember? And if someone goes to Nevada and there is no cell phone to send, this one is the one that goes. Nobody even knows the number. But lately, every evening there's been a phone call or two and they hang up or it's a wrong number. And so Dharma's in the bath a couple of days ago and the phone's ringing. And she is really now mad at EJ. Couldn't he walk up there or something, you know, just barely get wet. And that thing keeps ringing. So she gets up and she goes and snatches up that thing. What do you want, EJ? And there's a mumble, and she says, first of all, she says, look, EJ, I really am not in any mood for these games. And this nice man says, this is not EJ, and I think you want to hear what I have to say. And so he agreed. She said, I'm going to tape it, and I'm going to turn in this phone call, and I'm going to turn in the tape, and I, you know. And he said, just please be patient with me a minute. I have been present while they planned this outrage. He said, I have never witnessed anything more disgusting. And so we have it all in nice transcription form. And this man, I can promise you, does know of what he speaks. Now, after these interviews and things, Mr. Entz, not knowing when in the world to stop, went across and made sure that Bob Turner, who owns that farm, and who Mr. Entz turned in to the Zoning Commission, and all of these things had to be done out at that farm, and they were perfectly legal things when Bob did them. Now, after vandalizing the irrigation system, really trying to burn down the trailer, it is amazing Ray Bilger is alive. Because that little princess had walked in there and stomped the gas line off of the water heater. And it pulled that gas, and so the next time it ignited with the thermostat, it blew. And Ray was there. Fortunately, he's here. And before he could do anything, flames were to the ceiling. All right, the only little princess that knew that you could get into that trailer because it wouldn't lock, and exactly where to go and exactly what to do, was Tammy Alley. They always leave their calling card. Well, I repeat, I'm tired of it. We have other things to do. And we need to begin to drop these old legal cases and hassles and go, guess what? Yesterday, now, it's on the CNN news. Every half hour they were talking about these common law, illegal people who try to file liens and some Stanislaw little clerk says, and I will never give in to this unlawful stuff. They are unlawful. They are unlawful. Are you going to walk in and sweep the world? Probably not, but it isn't going to be as difficult as you might think. Because some other things are happening in the higher echelons of government that Grandma is just going to love talking about. And that's another one that I think this little scroungy crew from Extra might enjoy doing, is meeting with Grandma in Illinois, especially these days. Things are not nearly so remotely impossible as they were even last week this time. I mean, Mr. Bush is just bending over to be nice to the widow of the man he killed. Personally. He and Jimmy Baker III. Ollie North. Lloyd Benson.
Alan Greenspan.
Well, these four happen to be in the room trying to get a signature on that contract. Well, they didn't get it, and one day we will build a monument to Russell Herman. Now, there's something else you don't know. There's quite a lot, I hope, that you don't know, because it's not healthy. But today it's healthy. The more people who know, the better and more healthy it becomes. I want Janet to know, because she's very special, and I don't want her opening her mouth about these things. So if you want to ask her to confirm or deny, just smile at them, Janet. Your president has given away your military bases as they close, you know. Oh, China. Oh, good old China. Well, I think that over here in Capitol Hills, right next to our great big motion picture studio, because I want copies of these projects in this room tomorrow. Because we're going to have a real dandy afternoon. But I think right over there next to this motion picture studio that's going to now cost about $300 to $350 million, along with its adjacent TV network called Skylink, right there, I've already got the president for it, I believe we should have a China outlet, don't you? I mean, all these store outlets around, since they're going to turn the Long Beach Naval Depot and the Long Beach Shipyards. Is Todd Shipyard down there, EJ?
Yes, they have an operation there.
Okay. You know them.
That's not the biggest one.
They can float submarines and small ships. They can't get an aircraft carrier under there, but I wouldn't be surprised if they couldn't enlarge them or just blow out the middle between some of these tunnels, you know. They needed it for support. And they drill with these humongous drillers that melt the side of the earth into a porcelain as it drills. And every one of you have heard while they drill all under here, especially Nori and Ed under their location. They just drill up to the crystal. Now, they had a lot of fun with the crystal. Why, there is this 2.5-mile-sized crystal under that mountain, and that's the way we communicate with Dorma. That's what it's for. Man, they didn't even have that right. Well, they're going to have a big Chinese warehouse type of export-import business out in the desert. And they're going to take over, you have to know this, China Lake Naval Depot. I think you need an outlet here, don't you? God, I think that we should get a discount on something. Now, Janet doesn't have to speak up unless she wants to take exception to what I say. She will not know how many levels there are underneath that area out there, but she did work out there. And I believe that if anybody cornered her, she could say, I've been down under there. And I think Kathy and Mark have told you what happens on one level underneath that place. As far as children, clones, etc., are concerned, and mind control. There are the equivalent of over 80 levels under there. And there is a whole hub for these rapid transit tunnel system, transit system, you know, traveling to get from one piece of the United States to the other. And they run all the way from Canada to Mexico and on down through, underneath the canal and into South America. Whole world, a whole different world underneath the crust of your earth.
Is that just in this hemisphere?
Well, it's just over here, yes. There are actually some tunnels that intercontinental. And so I'm going to repeat, I am sick to death of these puny, scroungy little games of the Jason Brents of the world. And I'm going to ask these gentlemen if they would like to come. Kathy and Mark will be here when? The end of the month? I believe that they certainly need to get together, if nothing else, and to listen to Norio play his music. But he knows as much as anyone about Area 51. Let's give these kids an opportunity to do something worthwhile. with themselves, an opportunity to far out, I guess. But I don't see how you could look at Hale Bopp over here, Pleiades over here. Well, let's go this way. Hale Bopp this way, Pleiades this way. And strobing ships all the way around. I want Rusty Shoup and I want Miles Musio in the evening about 8 o'clock one evening. And we're going to have an astronomy lesson.
I'll date the tape.
Commander's present, and this is truly business today.
This is April the 6th, 1997. Greetings, Commander.
Everybody ready?
Yes. Yes, ready.
Well, we're going to have to be a little bit cautious today because I'm going to need her to speak tomorrow. And as you might guess, the stress level is somewhere between outer orbit and intergalactic. I guess it's called the jet flow. We've got some special people here. Janet, welcome. And after a while, this won't seem so strange to any of you who are not aware of how we make our visitation. Every one of you should be on your knees thankful that you have not been able to talk us into making appearances and other things this week. You got enough problems. Well, I don't want you to think of these as problems. Our most specially close, camaraderie-ridden adversaries have done themselves in. It's going to get a lot worse before it gets better for them. Margie, we're going to need absolute confirmation about Mr. Entz. Is he still with the apple shed or not?
No, he is not. My neighbor works there, and my neighbor's wife works there.
Hold on a second, Margie.
We want to make sure that all of this is recorded, and I will tell you a little bit later why this is very important today, because these people are coming out tomorrow, and we will have a meeting in this room sometime afternoon. Anybody who wants to come out of this town or anywhere else is welcome. But we're going to set a lot of things to right tomorrow.
My neighbor works at Apple Shed. He's worked there for probably 8 months. And when he came to work there in the first place, he met Rod Entz, who was working there, and Rod Entz said to him, say hello to your neighbor, Margie. Real nasty. And so my neighbor came and says, well, what's this all about? And what'll I do? I said, well, just be friends with him because you have to keep your job and just don't bring him home. I said, he was a manager at a farm, and I said, when you're manager and you don't do right, you know, managers can get fired, so he got fired, and things were missing. Things went along for a long time good, and then the wife who went to work there a week or so ago said they took Rod Entz's key away from him because there were too many things missing. They couldn't just say he took them, but they took his key away. Then the next few days, they fired him. And she went into work and baking with her husband. So Rod Entz is no longer there. This is from people who work there. And they're my next door neighbors.
Well, we may want to have a little run through of the videotape from the other night, just so that we're well refreshed by tomorrow. I will tell you in advance what I'm going to insist upon. They know they are in trouble. Other channels in the town didn't even dare show any of this. Other tabloid productions didn't. If it was mentioned at all, did anybody actually see anything on any other, and don't say, well, I think it was. I want to know explicitly if anything was on any other tabloid news station other than Extra. Because people keep saying hard copy, but that is not true. They all wonder how you know. Well, you don't have to be a wizard or a space alien to know what they did. So I'm going to give a little bit of background about where these various and sundry legal cases are resting at the moment. And I could ask Jean to do that, but I think what I'd like to do is only be corrected if I miss very many things. In the property case that's been going on now for nine years, Mr. Tips in France did a writ against Judge Chapin because he was appointed to get this case brought to a stop. They had disallowed even to discuss the fact that there was no sale present, no auctioneer, no sale. Nothing happened on May 24th, 1988. So let's check where we are with that case. Chapin came in, did his hatchet work, then he was shocked because all of this proof came forth, just poured all over him about the indiscretions of Stephen Horn in conjunction with Jason Brent. So all of you know then that when we went back to court, he continued to rule with Stephen Horn. And if you all will remember, Jason Brent was present. Now, there is a coalition, a conspiracy with George Abbott, Horton, Green, the entire Nevada bunch, with Jason Brent, Stephen Horn, Chapin, the Kern County and L.A. County bunch. So this was going to bode very unfavorably for Mr. Tips, who was a former attorney and has now moved to France. He overlooks Monaco, as only lawyers would be able to do, I'm sure. But anyway, he still has some practice here on the West Coast. He kind of flies back and forth. Well, there was nothing left to do but to make a complaint against Mr. Tipp's insurance company because Judge Chapin said from the bench that Mr. Tipp's was responsible for what had happened to the Eckers. Now, whether or not he thought it would ever get any further than that, I have no notion. But anyway, when he ruled again in the face of all this evidence, this time Mr. Tipps had to get into it because there becomes no alternative for the Eckers but to bring some kind of a charge against Mr. Tipps, just what the judge said, to get someone that can come back in here and carry on the case. Because there is no point, and now we have a trial sitting in front of us, unable to use any evidence relative to anything. They were able to get everything, including Jason Brent's past indiscretion, stricken. Everything regarding Mr. Horn and all of his dirty tricks right up until now, stricken. And then finally took the entire case out by saying that it could not even be mentioned, there was no sale. Well, what's left? So Mr. Tipps did put together what is called a writ to get this overridden with a higher court. Now, this is sort of a final word, and lawyers usually respect each other enough that when this writ was filed by Mr. Ellie, Mr. Tipps did the work. Mr. Ellie, our lawyer, did go in and file it. And let me give you a little side deal. An extra bit of money was paid to, quote, expedite this. But they didn't expedite it. And so I said, well, let us have our extra feedback. Oh, no, you don't get any extra feedback. We just made it all the same price. And whatever's left over goes to the law library. Does everybody hear what I just said?
This was Tipps told you that?
This is a court.
A court.
This is the court. Mr. Dixon and Mr. Ellie. No sweat. We just take whatever. And you don't get anything back. You don't get any service. TUF goes to the law library. Do we ever need some common law people? So now, in the face of this writ, something that is unheard of, Mr. Horn has filed an objection to this writ on the basis of what they just did to you on extra. And is sitting with the court now. Now, let me go to Mr. Green's indiscretions, and we'll refer to it now as the $400,000 gold theft. That came to the court, and Mr. Abbott and Mr. Horton were there to protect their interests, and they wanted lawyers' fees and so forth. So Judge Gamble said, no, thou shalt not get any lawyers' fees out of this money. But neither would he, after being ordered twice by the Nevada Supreme Court, would he release it. And then he went the extra mile and he said, I will give you 60 days, and then change it to 90, to get a probate order signed by the Texas court that they had no claim against that estate and this supposed gift or whatever they classified as. And if he was not pleased with what he got back from Texas, he was going to have a probate hearing. So guess what? When people start committing suicide, which they didn't, no suicide in San Diego. Immediately, all of you will also remember that Mr. Abbott was very pleased with himself that he had this in. He was a journalist. All his life he was a journalist. Even above and beyond being an honorable lawyer, he was an honorable journalist. And he had an inside with the Associated Press, and he certainly did, remember. This lady up here says she's Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know, but it came out in the Nevada paper in the town the morning that Judge Gamble was in the middle of this trial that they did away with the jury, thinking they had the court fixed. Well, the judge was so angry over this Associated Press article, which was the fourth or fifth. And it really wasn't as bad as some of the others. Anyway, he was not going to have this kind of ridicule. So that's been sitting now. Poor Dave Overton finally got even older, and God love him, he finally died. And they still are hanging on to it now. Do they have it? Have they spent it? What in the world has happened with that asset? But guess who precipitated all this wonderful new garbage? Mr. Abbott, Associated Press, the only one they could get to bite on it was Extra, and the only channel in Bakersfield they could get to even pay it any attention was Channel 29. Well, they're going to be sorry about that because we know some of the people from Channel 29. And Paul Lienthal went down and did a very beautiful interview with him to set some things to straight, and all of you saw what they did to him on the television. They just made us look like some gold dealers. We're not metals dealers. We have written over and over and over again, we're not in the metals business. This is going to come to a screeching halt, and they have a choice. They can meet our requirements, which means they can come into this room with their cameras off. This camera-shy pair up here. Does anybody have any idea why we have never allowed pictures?
Sell it on Extra.
Even that picture was taken at Diane's wedding where we specifically said, please, there will be no pictures, not even family pictures, of mother with daughter. Why? Why? Somebody out there tell me why we did this. Why do we not have pictures?
The focus is to be on Hatan instead of the scribe.
That's right. Absolutely right. Look what they've done with Jay-Z Knight, Claire Prophet. Do you want the truth? Are you about something? Or do you want to have some lame little old people up there that you can focus on? And with the petition that went out that very day of Diane's wedding, there will be no pictures of either Doris or EJ, the parents, mind you. Your ex-friends gave them those pictures. Beware, all of you, over and over again. We have handled things that way because we want absolutely zero notoriety. None. If we had wanted to start a cult or something, don't you think we could have done an adequate job of it? And then to have to face the fact, Mr. Ent stole over right at $50,000. Well, he was stealing right and left. It doesn't matter. While he was supposed to be managing that farm. And he was pulling in welfare, and he was pulling in food stamps. And they have sabotaged. Did anybody bring that letter?
Mr. Brent's letter?
Well, we need Mr. Brent's letter and we need the phone call. I don't want anybody really speculating who that might be yet because Rick is already treading on the... And this is very, very private.
I didn't bring the transcription.
Well, we're going to have to attend this today. I don't like having to attend it today, but tomorrow the Extra crew is going to be here. Yes, ma'am.
There's a shortcut.
And so we will have, they will meet about noon in contact's office with Dr. Young and Rick and whoever is down there. And then I'm asking that they come right to this room and we are going to have them sign a contract that they will not take pictures of either of the Eckers. And then I'm going to tell them how it's going to be. And I think all of you are eager enough to know how it's going to be that some of you may want to be here. This is not a command performance, although we will have some cookies because I want to let them know that they're in my living room on my turf.
We don't even need cookies tomorrow.
Yes, we do.
Well, in the midst of all of this, when you can't feel much worse, and physically it's just really taking its toll, the whole thing. Mr. Tip saw it in France, in Monaco. It was seen in Greece. It was seen in South Africa. It was seen in New Zealand. It was seen in Australia. And we have an entire printout of the internet from Dr. Kenyon, who was here, you know, from Hawaii. This is damaging. This is hurtful. Everybody's wondering if anybody's still alive here, because the way Extra handled this program, you couldn't tell where they were talking about. And isn't it interesting that they only had the malfunctioning misfits that did the speaking? Did anybody find that interesting? So when Mr. Linfall goes down to talk with them, she puts on her sweet blinking eyes and, we're just so sincere. Well, how did you connect this? Why were you out there? Oh, well, I mean, we knew we had something in the file about it, and we just dug around and came up with it. Yeah. And so Mr. Leonthal says, well, you were seen down with Mr. Jason Brent at the end of the street. What was that about? Oh, well, that has nothing to do with anything. Well, there's your connection. He's been a big deal around here, and Miles Musiosi, being the meteorologist and so forth, they had a big shake-up at Channel 29 and 23 where he was, and he moved over. Well, it just turns out that Miles Musio is the closest neighbor to the Eckers that you've got. But he calls her the little E.T. princess. Well, I'm going to repeat. They're going to have some opportunities to make their careers or break themselves, because nobody is going to bother to go after anyone like Extra any more than you would the National Enquirer when you have federal racketeering conspiracy charges you can bring against them for having conspiratorially joined together to damage deliberately, both personally and businesses. And actually, Nevada corporate law does not like this sort of thing happening to their corporations. Now, which is the best way to go? Well, obviously, to go with lawyers takes an awful lot of money. Now, I don't know. This one might be big enough in the long haul for lawyers to want to do this contingency wise. I don't know. Gene isn't as brave as we are with his career. It's sort of like anything, you know. After you have lost what you consider lost everything, then you go for it. Well, Gene doesn't yet realize that he's lost everything. He might as well go for it. And I hate to be the first to tell him this, but we're going to go for it. Now, that's just all there is to it. And I will try to honor Gene, but I hope that some of you are beginning to realize that I don't talk through the hole in my head. I talk through the hole in hers. I think with mine. And you have some incredible cases here. But more importantly, you can make an international splash. There are so many things that none of you yet are privy to. And they are, your enemies are struggling every which way they can. They are terrified that court is going to release that gold. So they got all this information together. Now they filed their information with every court where you have any case going to discredit you, see. They had to go so far out on a limb to in any way have anything here remotely resemble anything in San Diego. And then when you look at the San Diego mess, don't you find it interesting that within a week of the, well, they burned down Waco on the 19th of April, 4 years ago. And you can judge how long the Judge Coyle case has been going with US&P because it was on that day that Judge Coyle cited Dorma for contempt of court. Then you come along and on April 19th, 2 years ago, they bomb the federal building in Oklahoma City. And guess what they did? Just as soon as they could empty that building, they burned it. They tore it down, destroyed it. When they had Ruby Ridge and Bogart was up there in Idaho and had already shot the mother and the little boy, they had loaded fuel tanks onto that helicopter. Now, maybe you knew, maybe you didn't know. I'm going to tell you right now. This was when Jack Donahue was coming out here working on prefab houses. Jack Donahue was a member of the OSS, Office of whatever. He was George Bush's bosom buddy. They'd gone to college together. He was George's insurance man. George had a birthday party at Camp David. Sent a military plane to pick up Jack Donahue to take him to Camp David to the birthday party. You think they don't waste your money? Well, we were dealing at that time with trying to open a conduit where people out of Hong Kong could, through incorporation, come into the United States because Great Britain said, we're not going to allow them just to become citizens of Great Britain. I bet they wish today they hadn't taken that tact. So Jack Donahue went personally to George Bush to ask if this was a feasible thing to do. Would they be welcome? Would we be in trouble? What would happen here? Georgie boy said, wonderful. Of course, anyone who can start a business or do something over here are certainly welcome. So this is how long ago this was. So now we've got a situation. Jack Donahue is due momentarily this particular morning. I had gotten Dorma up early. I could see what was happening in Idaho. This was going to be a conflagration. And so when Jack Donahue got to the place that morning, I had already given orders for him to get this thing shut down. Go to the White House. You know who to get in touch with. You do it, Buster. And so he did it. And they sent Paul Harvey over in another helicopter to get it shut down. So I don't care how many of you, even in this room, know, care, believe a whit about Anton Hatton. The ones who are important in your world know exactly who I am, and I have a massive file at level A6 where even your president cannot access it, but George Bush can. And I like that because what we're doing with George Bush right now. He just didn't want to deal then.
He's keeping his
No. Please perish the thought about any such thing as that. But the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And he certainly is reconsidering a lot of the things that he has had going. Not the least of which is Briex. You know, this lovely Canadian gold mining operation out of Busang, you know, where they're now pushing corporate people out of helicopters. They've suddenly decided they've got cancer and they just can't live another moment. And so somewhere between here and there, over the Busang mines, you jump out of the helicopter to commit suicide. And that's happening within this week, you know. There's no gold in the mine. Can you believe the crumminess of this high-level manipulation, intergovernmental intrigue? And they salted a gold mine in Indonesia. Now, wouldn't that frost you? So the world isn't looking good out there to those players. And I know that it looks like the world isn't looking all that great to you players. It's looking better every moment. I wanted to bring these people in tomorrow. I hope they are nice and cooperative. I don't give a damn, really, whether they are or not. They will either meet our needs or they may go. That's up to them. But I don't think it's going to be wise on their part to go. And I would, all of you, take your pens right now and write some of these things down. I don't know the dates and things, but I do know that on the 13th, of this month, David Icke will be here. Now, David Icke is an international speaker, journalist, had his own media shows, and he's been here, and you know he is, and that's been a year. He is really good now. He's likable, he's charming. I'm going to give these gentlemen an opportunity to come out here and meet some people. Some people. And stop basing it on this sensational garbage. Now that compound up there on the hill. You know that big rock wall there in the back? Guess what? That's one of the damn projects, and Leon Fort worked on that. Those are compressed earth bricks. But they aren't worth a damn, are they? So you have to build up your wall, then you have to wire it like for stucco, and then you have to put a stucco covering on it. Well, maybe it's impressive. I don't know. It melted the first time. But that was a project. That was a successful project and your first major piece of equipment. One of those compressors. And George Green went out and took that along with Dee and Bob Smith and started building houses with it. Huh. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of it. I'm tired of these sniveling scum suckers doing this. And Mr. Entz comes on there with a light to his back as if everybody in the world didn't know who he was. This was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. But he interviewed for nearly 4 hours. And he said there are stashes of weapons, an arsenal out at that farm. Tons of ammunition. And this is such a bad scene that somebody called on an intercellular phone that rings in EJ's bedroom. They use it as an intercom setup when he had his broken foot, remember? And if someone goes to Nevada and there is no cell phone to send, this one is the one that goes. Nobody even knows the number. But lately, every evening there's been a phone call or two and they hang up or it's a wrong number. And so Dharma's in the bath a couple of days ago, and the phone's ringing. And she is really now mad at EJ. couldn't he walk up there or something, you know? Just barely get wet, and that thing keeps ringing. So she gets up, and she goes and snatches up that thing. What do you want, EJ? And there's a mumble, and she says, first of all, she says, look, EJ, I really am not in any mood for these games. And this nice man says, this is not EJ, and I think you want to hear what I have to say. And so he agreed. She said, I'm going to tape it, and I'm going to turn in this phone call, and I'm going to turn in the tape, and I, you know. And he said, just please be patient with me a minute. I have been present while they planned this outrage. He said, I have never witnessed anything more disgusting. And so we have it all in nice transcription form. And this man, I can promise you, does know of what he speaks. Now, after these interviews and things, Mr. Entz, not knowing when in the world to stop, went across and made sure that Bob Turner, who owns that farm, and who Mr. Entz turned in to the Zoning Commission, and all of these things had to be done out at that farm, and they were perfectly legal things when Bob did them. Now, after vandalizing the irrigation system, really trying to burn down the trailer, it is amazing Ray Bilger is alive. Because that little princess had walked in there and stomped the gas line off of the water heater. And it pooled that gas, and so the next time it ignited with the thermostat, it blew. And Ray was there. Fortunately, he's here. And before he could do anything, flames were to the ceiling. All right. The only little princess that knew that you could get into that trailer because it wouldn't lock, and exactly where to go and exactly what to do, was Tammy Alley. They always leave their calling card. Well, I repeat, I'm tired of it. We have other things to do. And we need to begin to drop these old legal cases and hassles and go, guess what? Yesterday, now, it's on the CNN news. Every half hour, they were talking about these common law, illegal people who try to file liens, and some Stanislaw little clerk says, and I will never give in to this unlawful stuff. They are unlawful. They are unlawful. Are you going to walk in and sweep the world? Probably not, but it isn't going to be as difficult as you might think. Because some other things are happening in the higher echelons of government that Grandma is just going to love talking about. And that's another one that I think this little scroungy crew from Extra might enjoy doing, is meeting with Grandma in Illinois, especially these days. Things are not nearly so remotely impossible as they were even last week this time. I mean, Mr. Bush is just bending over to be nice to the widow of the man he killed. Personally. He and Jimmy Baker III. Ollie North. Lloyd Benson.
Alan Greenspan.
Well, these four happen to be in the room trying to get a signature on that contract. Well, they didn't get it, and one day we will build a monument to Russell Herman. Now there's something else you don't know. There's quite a lot, I hope, that you don't know because it's not healthy. But today it's healthy. The more people who know, the better and more healthy it becomes. I want Janet to know, because she's very special, And I don't want her opening her mouth about these things. So if you want to ask her to confirm or deny, just smile at them, Janet. Your president has given away your military bases as they close, you know. Oh, China. Oh, good old China. Well, I think that over here in Capitol Hills, right next to our great big motion picture studio, because I want copies of these projects in this room tomorrow. Because we're going to have a real dandy afternoon. But I think right over there next to this motion picture studio that's going to now cost about $300 to $350 million, along with its adjacent TV network called Skylink, right there, I've already got the president for it, I believe we should have a China outlet, don't you? I mean, all these store outlets around, since they're going to turn the Long Beach Naval Depot and the Long Beach Shipyards. Is Todd Shipyard down there, EJ?
Yes, they have an operation there.
Okay. You know them.
That's not the biggest one.
They can float submarines and small ships. They can't get an aircraft carrier under there, but I wouldn't be surprised if they couldn't enlarge them or just blow out the middle between some of these tunnels, you know. They needed it for support. And they drill with these humongous drillers that melt the side of the earth into a porcelain as it drills. And every one of you have heard while they drill all under here, especially Nori and Ed under their location. They just drill up to the crystal. Now, they had a lot of fun with the crystal. Why, there is this 2.5-mile-size crystal under that mountain, and that's the way we communicate with Dorma. That's what it's for. Man, they didn't even have that right. Well, they're going to have a big Chinese warehouse type of export-import business out in the desert. And they're going to take over, you have to know this, China Lake Naval Depot. I think you need an outlet here, don't you? God, I think that we should get a discount on something. Now, Janet doesn't have to speak up unless she wants to take exception to what I say. She will not know how many levels there are underneath that area out there, but she did work out there. And I believe that if anybody cornered her, she could say, I've been down under there. And I think Kathy and Mark have told you what happens on one level underneath that place. As far as children, clones, etc., are concerned, and mind control. There are the equivalent of over 80 levels under there. And there is a whole hub for these rapid transit tunnel system, transit system, you know, traveling to get from one piece of the United States to the other. And they run all the way from Canada to Mexico and on down through, underneath the canal and into South America. Whole world, a whole different world underneath the crust of your earth.
Is that just in this hemisphere?
Well, that's just over here, yes. There are actually some tunnels that intercontinental. And so I'm going to repeat, I am sick to death of these puny, scroungy little games of the Jason Brents of the world. And I'm going to ask these gentlemen if they would like to come. Kathy and Mark will be here when? The end of the month? I believe that they certainly need to get together, if nothing else, and to listen to Norio play his music. But he knows as much as anyone about Area 51. Let's give these kids an opportunity to do something worthwhile with themselves, an opportunity to far out, I guess. But I don't see how you could look at Hale Bopp over here, Pleiades over here. Well, let's go this way. Hale Bopp this way, Pleiades this way, and strobing ships all the way around. I want Rusty Shoup and I want Miles Muzio in the evening about 8 o'clock one evening, and we're going to have an astronomy lesson.